Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
I want you to go with me in your Bibles real quickly. I realize I have about 25 minutes to preach to you a 45-minute message. But if you'll listen fast, I'll talk fast. It's part five of a series that we began the first of the year called Unleashed. I am believing that this year is the year of Unleashed. Unleashed anointing, unleashed authority, unleashed prayer, unleashed unity, unleashed the spoken word of God. Would you look at your neighbor and say, whether you know it or not, God wants to unleash you. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about the power of unity. And I'm sorry, I went Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, but I just want to go 18 and 19. Chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, Steve. Thank you, musicians. Hallelujah. And it says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 19 says, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And then in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, Paul said this. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring, here it is, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Next verse says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I want you to lay hands on yourself for just a moment. Lord, I pray right now that you would give us an ear to hear what the Spirit would say. Give us a mind to receive and a heart to receive. In Jesus' name, let me lay aside all my preconceived ideas and allow the Holy Spirit to move in my life. In Jesus' name. And the church said, hallelujah. How to unleash the power of unity. How do we do that, Pastor? Do you know that unity is one of the things that the devil hates the most? Why do you think that the person whom you love, maybe your spouse, excuse me, the person whom you love the most, your spouse, is it any wonder how you could love the ground they walk on and then in the next moment wish you had put them under the ground? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, next Monday week, I'm going to be celebrating 30 years with the same woman. And all right, go ahead. And we ain't killed each other yet. I know some of you are like, well, me and my spouse never have a cross word because one of y'all ain't got a personality. That's why. No, you ain't so holy. No, you ain't. No, you ain't, baby. You just deceived. But anyway, let me go on. Unity is something that the devil hates, whether it be in church, whether it be in your family, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be on the job. He hates unity. So how do I then, Pastor, unleash the power of unity in my own life? Well, I want you to keep in mind, number one, God is all about unity. God is all about unity. Ephesians 1 and 10 says, as a plan of the fullness of time, to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on the earth. Now, as we can see from our text today, that his plan for the fullness of time is unity. He wants you in unity. Because unified, there is nothing that we can't do. If we stay unified, the devil makes hard, because when one is weak, then the other is strong. See, one of the cool things about my wife and I over 30 years, there have been times when she's been weak. There's been times when I've been weak, but we've never been weak together. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's God's plan. So one can lift up the other. There have been times that she had to lift me up spiritually. There have been times that she had to hold me up. And then there are times that I've had to hold her up, because that is God's plan. Keep in mind that God's timing is not our timing. His time is eternal and everlasting. With God, there is no time. He always was and always will be. His time is that we would have unity along with him while we are part of his beautiful plan. He wants us to be in unity with him. Think about this. Why did God create humans? Why did he create humans? It was to have fellowship with them and that we would worship him. That's why you were created. You were created to have fellowship with him and to worship him, to have unity with him. And it's a very wonderful thing when you and God are in unity together. But being the loving God that he is, God gives us the privilege to choose whether we love and worship him or not. And we choose that on a daily basis. We choose that on a daily basis. Many of you could tell the day you came in today and you chose to worship God. You chose to love on God. Some of you love God, but today you didn't choose to love on him. It's just a reality. Some, you know, and I'm not saying that you don't have to worship the way that I worship, because I'm a little wild. I'm a little demonstrative. You know, that's not just the way I am at church. I'm that way all the time. I'm pretty out there. I'm demonstrative, but I worship God. But you have to make a choice every day whether you're going to be in fellowship with God, because we're not robots that have to worship him. We make that choice. I choose to worship him. Let me tell you this. Just because I'm married to my wife doesn't mean that I've got to be good to her. I can't get no amens there. You mean like, I ain't saying jack, bro. But if I want biscuits in the morning, I better be good to her. Amen. If I want to have her love reciprocated to me, then I need to be good to her. I need to love her the way that I want to be loved. Can I get a good amen on that? All right, so in thinking about this, the power of unity is amazing. And I don't have time to really preach on this because of time, but remember the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11? And they put to their mind to work, and man, there was nothing that they could do. Here's what the Bible says, here's what God said, nothing will be impossible for them. Because they got in unity together. The Bible said that on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one accord, which means that they were in unity, is when the power of the Holy Spirit fell and baptized all of them in the Holy Ghost. So we've got to understand that we want to understand the power of teamwork, the power of collaboration, the power of being in unity, not only with God, but with our fellow man. How many knows that when you're on the job site and you're the only one working and everybody else is working against you, it is not a good day? But man, when everybody begins to sink together and you begin to work together, it is wonderful. Here's what Psalms 133 and 1 says. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's an amazing feat. You heard it said, teamwork makes the dream work. And that's the truth. Teamwork makes the dream work. That if you know, when you're not worried about who's going to get the credit, it's amazing what you can do for the things of God and for even your family. When you don't worry about who's going to hear what it says. You know, I heard a coach say this one time about great basketball players. You remember when in the Olympics, I forget which one it was, but when they had all the greats, when they had all the all-stars, I know Michael Jordan was in there and some of the great was part of that basketball team. And here's what the coach said. He said, it's easy to get great players. Getting them to work together is the hard part. Because when you work together, there is nothing that is impossible for you, especially when you put God in the mix. So keep in mind that when you're trying to unleash unity, keep in mind that God is all about unity. And then number two is that relationships are easy to start, but extremely difficult to keep. Boy, I can't get no help up in here this morning. It's all right, I'm going to preach whether y'all amen or not, so you might as well go on amen. Relationships are easy to start, but extremely difficult to keep. Thank you. Very better. How many knows when you've seen your spouse, something attracted to you, to them, and you looked at them and go, And you started a relationship, but now sometimes you look at them and go, Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Huh? You look at them and go, good Lord Jesus. But something started. You know, Lord, either you touch them or I'm going to. Somebody going to touch them. Because relationships are easy to start. You can start a relationship over nothing, but keeping that relationship takes effort. Why? Because the devil hates united people. The devil is all about division. There's nothing the devil fears more than Christians who are united. And this means that his number one tactic is to bring disunity, not only to the church, but to your family. Now, to my knowledge, let me just say this. To my knowledge, and I bind the devil in the name of Jesus, we don't have a disunity in our church, but I'm just saying the enemy loves to bring disunity into a body of believers, into a committee, into a team, into a family, into whatever he can to get you to be disunity and disorganized so that the devil will have his way in your life. But when you're unified, that you remember, anybody ever used to play that old game, Red Rover, send so-and-so right over? And what you would do is you would look when they called your name and you would try to find the weakest link to break through. The devil's trying to find the weakest link in your family to get in. That's why you got to lock arms and you got to be unified and say, no, not today, devil. You're not getting into my family. I refuse to be the weak link in the chain. The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Think about what three can do, four can do. Notice together they can accomplish more than when we work alone. There's a law called synergism. This law states that when the joint action of agents are brought together, they increase each other's effectiveness. You know, it's one thing. We do this every week with our band. It's one thing just to have somebody on it. It's one thing to have somebody playing. But then when you add in the drums, then when you add in this, you add in that, you add in the other, and it's amazing that what starts to happen. This morning, we started our sound check, and our drummer wasn't here, and so we were a little bit out of sync. They would start over there and I'd look over here and Josh is playing our keyboard. I'd go, all right, we need to go on. I'd look at Brent and go, we're dragging. I said, I know. So in order to get everybody synced together, I had to get on the drums, which thank God Arthur came, but I had to get on the drums and get everybody in sync. And then we could be on the right level. You got to understand that yes, it's more difficult to play with more people, but it makes better music because there's so many other things that happens. It's one thing to hear one voice, but when you hear a choir of voices singing with one accord, it's something wonderful happens. And that's what happens with your family. That's what happens in your church. When you're not set apart, but you are a part of what God is doing in a church. So keep that in mind. Relationships are easy to make. Keeping them are much more difficult. Keeping a relationship takes work. He works overtime trying to divide relationships. The devil does. Because he knows the power of it. He did it at the very beginning. Think about this. In the very beginning, Lucifer fell and took a third of the angels with him, trying to divide heaven. The devil did it with Adam and Eve in the separation that took place. Then there were two boys named Ishmael and Isaac, and there was division there. And we can go on and on and on. We all think that everyone else is the problem. I think I need to hit that just a minute. Everybody else is the problem. And that's not always the truth. Sometimes it is other people. But a lot of times it's you. It's you. When you live by yourself, it's amazing all your annoying habits go away. You ever thought about that? When my wife is gone, nobody ever complains about where I put my pants. Nobody ever complains about where I take off my socks. That never comes up when I'm by myself. Now, when I know she's coming home, I go pick up my socks, pick up my pants, and put them where they ought to be. Well, Pastor, why don't you do that in the first place? Because sometimes when I'm by myself, I just want to show her who's boss. Amen. I know a guy, I won't mention his name, but his initials are BG. His wife would be gone for a week, and she was gone for a couple of weeks, and he couldn't come to church that Sunday. I said, why can't you be at church? He's our sound guy. I said, why can't you be at church? He said, I got to clean the house. I said, what do you mean clean the house? He said, the wife is coming home. I said, you've messed up the house so bad that you got to take a whole day to clean it? He goes, yeah. I go, do your slob. Amen. He won't be here. He's in Hawaii, so he won't hear this anyway. That's what you get for going to Hawaii without me. All right. All of us know, though, you take two people who come from different backgrounds and put them in the house where you were raised differently. You have different culture. You know there's going to be conflict eventually. And then you take and add kids to it, there's going to be conflict. But yet we think it's going to be different because we're in church. You're still going to have conflict. That's the devil's ploy, is to cause division. How many knows that you can have conflict without division? Matter of fact, conflict dealt with correctly brings you closer than apart. If you deal with it correctly, because you begin to get understanding about the person that you're dealing with. That, you know, my wife and I, we ought to be just one, all the conflicts we've had, right? Sometimes we didn't handle it right. Well, since she ain't here, I'll say she didn't handle it right. Remember what I said earlier? Somebody else is always the problem. We didn't always handle conflict the right, but when we did handle it correctly, we come closer together. Instead of being divided. So that's what we need to do in our families, in our relationships, on the job. Handle conflict correctly. It'll bring you closer together instead of tearing you apart. Now keep in mind that relationships made through covenants, agreements, survive. What do you mean by that, Pastor? True unity will remain when relationships of those involved are based on covenant agreements together found in the Word of God. See, I'm a firm believer that if you go God's way about getting your spouse, and then y'all, I'm Southern, I can say that, y'all means all y'all, means you guys, means you. If the couple will put God's precepts and concepts into their life, you will not be conflict-free, but you will be divorce free. Amen? Why? Because of the fact that God teaches us covenant. That husbands and wives have a marital covenant with each other based upon God's word. When the two come together and when they come into intercourse the way it should be, then they become one flesh. The problem that we have right now is we've got people coming together too many times before they come into covenant, and they're half a person by the time they get married. I ain't going to preach on that. I ain't got time to hit that. But in your relationships, consider two questions. Number one, ask yourself, how much do I truly value this relationship? Because if you truly value it, you'll work on it. You'll fight for it. You know, I've told my wife before, I said, listen, if you ever decide to leave me, tell me where you're going, because I'm going to go there too. I'm going to leave me too. I value my relationship with my wife. I value it. Has it always been easy? No. Why? Because she just won't act right all the time. But I value that relationship. And I will do what is ever necessary to fight for it. And the devil will do whatever he thinks is necessary to try to divide it. That's why that her and I need to be so close together and share things and let the devil know that there is no weakness in here. This relationship is worth fighting for. If the relationship is something that you truly want to continue, how much do you love that person? How much are you willing to do, and what are you willing to sacrifice to see the success of this relationship take place? And I know it takes two. I've seen people who have sacrificed everything trying to save a relationship, but the person just wanted out. And there's not much you can do about that. That's why I say both have to make the decision. You know, we're doing a marriage, a vow renewal in just about 2 weeks now on Valentine's Day. It takes two. If both are given to God, if both are looking to God as the author and the finisher of their faith, if both are looking to the Word of God as their covenant and not just a contract. There's a difference. A contract means that you fulfill your side and I'll fulfill mine. But a covenant says, I don't care if you fulfill yours or not, I'm still going to fulfill mine. That's the difference. The contract says, well, she ain't treating me right, so I ain't going to treat her right. A covenant says, I don't care what you're going to do, but I'm going to do what's right because I'm in covenant with you. That's good preaching, Pastor. How much are you willing to do? For me, I value my relationship with my wife more than anything else in the world outside of my relationship with God. And will do everything under my power to make our relationship succeed. All right? I value our covenant agreement that we made with each other at the altar in Southport, Florida, at Southport Assembly of God on February the 8th, 1986, beginning at 4 p.m. I remember the vows that we made to each other that said, I will love you come good or bad, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to you as long as we both shall live. So I give you my promise before God and all these witnesses. And if everybody would do what they coveted to do, you'd never have a problem. Let me tell you something. Now, I'm going to get some of you women mad at me right here, but that's all right. You can go ahead and write me. I don't give a rip. Write me at Pastor Cash at CrystalRiverCOG.com. I can take it. I'm going to make everybody who's in the feminist movement, I'm going to make you mad. But I promise you, if you got a man that treats you the way the Bible says to treat a woman, you won't have any problem subjecting yourself to his authority. Mm-mm. Because here's what the Bible says. See, all men, we know Ephesians 5:25, submit yourself unto me, woman. No, there's another scripture behind that Christ loved the church, or love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Yeah, you women ought to shout on that one. And I promise you, if your husband loves you that way, treats you that way, you don't have any problem. Here's what my wife said when the feminist movement started coming out. She said, they better leave my situation alone. She said, I got it good. She said, I don't want them messing up my gig. She said, right's nothing. Number two, consider, when you're dealing with relationships. Consider ration number two. Ask yourself, is our relation based upon transaction or true relationship? Ask yourself that question. Transactions come and go. Relationships last. If you live a life of relationship first, then if the transaction goes awry, then your relationship will continue. It goes back to what I said. We treat people based on how they treat us. But see, in a relationship, sometimes you're not going to be treated fair. Now, I'm going to give you my side. On most of my friends outside of this church, most of my friends, I would dare to say that I'm a better friend to them than they are to me. How many understand what I'm saying on that? You feel like you're a better friend to them than they are. You know, I always got to call them. They barely ever call me. Sometimes I wonder if they even want to be my friend. Maybe they just put up with me. I don't know. Maybe I'm fooling myself. Right? But see, my relationship with them is not based on, well, I called you last. You better call me the next time. You know, it sounds silly when you put it that way, doesn't it? But isn't that what we do? We do that in relationships. Well, I tell you what, I went and treated her to this and I did, Lord, she don't even realize it, but I took the garbage out last night. Now let me get on us men. We men want to be praised for anything that we do. Hey, did you notice I made the bed? You did? Yeah, I did. Well, ain't you just a good boy? And then we get mad. Don't treat me like no child. We kind of want to be treated like a child. Because we like, you know, we took out the trash. We want everybody to know it. Hey. I loaded the dishwasher. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right, men? We want everybody to know. I sweep the floor. My wife went to the chiropractor. The chiropractor says she don't need to sweep or mop anymore. I can't wait till I go see him. I'm going to punch him right in his face. So now every time that I sweep or mop, I'll let her know. Hey, you know she don't see nothing on the floor? I did that. That's right. Like I did something really big. I'm usually the one that tracked it in anyway, but anyway, I did that. Because that's the way we men are, right? But see, ask yourself, is your relationship based upon transaction or relationship? Because if you're in a relationship, you will stay at the table instead of jumping up from the table mad and upset because you didn't get everything you wanted to get. As you walk in unity, you can undertake some powerful transactions in life and come out on the other side with greater success stories. We'll make a greater impact when we unleash the power of unity in our personal lives. Number four, the relationship covenant. Oh, I got to give you this. The relationship covenant is based upon four steps. Agree to treat each other. Know whether it's your spouse, whether it is your people you work with in church. Do this. I think it's number four, Steve. Point number four. Just skip down to that, wherever we're at. All right. Agree to treat each other with the following. I'm just going to hit it. I don't have time to preach. I'm through with my time. Give me my first one. Number one. Humility. Treat everybody with humility. Don't act like you're better than everybody else. Don't act like you're the only person that's really going through anything. Treat everybody with humility instead of pride. The Bible said pride goeth before a fall. A humble heart, a humble voice, a humble opinion, a humble outlook, a humble attitude, a humble way of life. Humility. Not weakness. Not passivity. But absolute humility, or humility, honoring one another above yourself. I promise you that if you treat people better than they deserve, that many times that they will rise up to the level you treat them. All right? I got so much stuff there. All right, number two, pre-forgiveness. When you're in a relationship, you know, here's what my dad taught. My dad's a pastor. He's been a pastor for most of my life. But here's what he told me. And when he told me this, Brother Cash, I thought, boy, you're an old, bitter old man. He said, here's the advice he gave me when he found out I was going to pastor. He said, well, son, He said, look for the best in people, but don't be disappointed when the worst comes out. I went, wow, you old bitter old man. I didn't say that because he had slapped my teeth down my throat. But I said, wow. And then he said, and let me give you another piece of advice. Have the heart of a lamb and the skin of an alligator. And I went, wow, you've been hurt in church. I know, because I didn't like people. I thought the only people saved was my dad and mom. I thought everybody else in church was a bunch of hypocrites. And probably right was the church I went to. But anyway. But you know what I've learned? I learned that's some good advice. Expect the best out of people. But don't be surprised if the worst comes out. But if you enter relationships with pre-forgiveness, if you enter them going, I'm going to forgive you because I know there's going to be some things you're going to do that, you know, are going to aggravate me or whatever. You know, but you just go, oh, yeah, I love you anyway. And if you'll enter that, then you're going to have a lot more unity in your life than division. Can you say amen? It will usually happen in one degree or another. The longer we walk together, you will get offended. You ever met somebody and they just thought and this happens to me all the time. I first meet people, they first come to church and you know, they only see me on this side, you know, and they go, oh, pastor, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Then they stay around me a little bit longer and I go, man, you're a jerk. I go, thank you, I appreciate that. Like a hair in my biscuit, thank you. You know, you have to have that pre-forgiveness in you. That you know it's going to happen. If you walk with me long enough, that I'm going to do something to make you mad, something that offends you, something that'll get on your nerves. Why? Because I know me. Honestly, I know people. And so I just have pre-forgiveness. Does it work all the time? I haven't mastered it, but I'm working on it. Thirdly, unconditional love. Just have unconditional love. I love you. You know people that you just want to slap the spit out of their mouth, but you love them? I mean, you know people that you just want to, you know, you want to kill them and tell God they died, but you love them? I've counseled with people thought, what I ought to do is just shoot you in the head right now and get your family out of their misery. But I love you, and I ain't going to do it. Unconditional love. You know, I don't love you based on what you've done. I love you because I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you. You got to have that unconditional love. And if you go into relationships that way, you know, and here's one. We choose to love each other unconditional. I don't love you because of the last thing you did for me. How many, don't point at nobody if they're here, but how many know people, they only like you for the last thing they did that you did for them? No, I love you I just love you. You know, I know folks who get on my nerves, but I still love them. Right? All right, here comes the last one. I'll be done. Treat everybody with 100% truth. 100% truth. If you've been in church long enough, you've heard these words from a dear old saint. I'm going to tell you this because I love you. And when they start out that way, I go, don't love me. Do not love me. I do not want to hear what's the next words coming out of your mouth. Because what they're supposed to do is tell you off is what they're supposed to do. John, I tell you this because I love you. And then they begin to tell you off. You're like, thank you. I feel so much better that you told me that because you love me. But how many knows that if you do know somebody loves you, that you can take stuff that you wouldn't normally take and you won't take offense to it? Listen, you know, I've used this one time before, but fits so good, I got to say it one more time. You know, I keep mints in my pocket all the time. Why? Because I talk a lot, I sing a lot, I preach a lot, and I have bad breath. Oh, wait a minute. Dallas over there shaking her head like, yeah, you do. Wait, I just took one. Come on. But how many of you would rather your friend go, hey, bro, you need a Tic Tac? Instead of just let you spray your foul mouth over everybody. Come on. But now if somebody you don't know says, dude, you need a Tic Tac, you're embarrassed, right? But if somebody you love, and I've had them do it to me, go, Pastor, you know I love you, but man, you need a Tic Tac. Like, hey, bro, thank you. Before I, you know, brother Cash will say, I know you're getting ready to close when you put a breath mint in your mouth. I know I get ready to pray. Because if I come down here praying for people, I want people to fall out under the power of the glory of God, not the power of my breath. Amen. How many's ever had somebody pray for you with horrible breath? And you're going, oh, Jesus. Woo! Lord, you're trying to, and they're like, look at me. No, I don't want to look at you. I can't look. Water coming out of your eyes. They think you're crying. You're crying, but for a different reason. Oh, Jesus. And then you try to tell them subtly. You start speaking in tongues. Tick-tack, 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 tick-tack. Peppermint, 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 peppermint. Get one right now. Get one right now. Hallelujah. I don't want to be that dude. So if you, but you would rather somebody that loves you. Every once in a while I tell my wife, baby, get you a Tic Tac. She'll go, is my breath smell? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to lay one on you. I just want it fresh for when I come in. Amen. Just see every once in a while. If you want to see your relationships walk in great success, your dreams come to pass, work together in unity. You know, listen, Pastor John, he's on vacation for the next couple of weeks. He's off in a tree somewhere trying to kill a deer. I don't understand. He goes way up north. And my wife said, well, don't he know that Brian and Sean killed deer right up the road? I go, I don't know what it is. He has to go to Alabama to kill a deer. I don't know. He don't kill one. He just kills time. I don't know what he does. But anyway, ain't that crazy, ain't it, Brian? Have you ever had to ask him about that? I don't know. You need to talk to him. Yeah, bigger deer. Well, you got to see the deer in order to kill one. But anyway. But I've got a great staff. Pastor Cash. Pastor Steve. We have a great staff. And I wish I could tell you that we always agree. But we don't. I know we don't. Most of the time I would say that we agree. But if we disagree, we do it agreeably. Right? Let me just tell you, I can't stand up here and go, look what I built. No. It took a team to do it. Part of you. You've all been a team that we've done this together. And if you want to see your goals, your dreams come to pass, whether it be in a family, whether it be on the workshop, whether it be in church, you need to guard against division and walk in unity. You know, I'm going to tell you what. You will never get out of debt unless you get in unity. You will never have a fulfilled life. You know, I'm done. Come back to the piano. Just give me something on the piano. I don't need the whole band right now. Just come on, hurry, hush, run. Get your big self moving. I've got a family member. Here's what she told me. She said, I'm gonna tell you right now, if anything ever happens to my husband, I'll never get remarried. I went, wow. She said, it's too much work. I said, I've enjoyed my married life. My wife said, baby, if anything ever happens to me, you'll be married before my body's cold. I said, I would not, baby. I'm going to use the weight to check out the singles. They'll come up, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. And I'll pat their hand, look to see if they got a wedding ring. Oh, it's all right. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But it's because I've enjoyed being married. I've enjoyed it. And you know why I've enjoyed it? Because she's made it enjoyable. Why? Because we've walked in unity. Have we done it for, you know, I tell everybody, we've been married for 28 happy years. Wait a minute, Pastor, you just said it's going to be 30. Right. We had about 2 years collectively where we ain't been so happy. You know, we had a day here, a day there, a month over there. Come on, somebody. Y'all can be lying if you want to. But collectively, I've enjoyed being married. And I've enjoyed being in unity with her. And we've had some great successes and dreams come because of unity. Church, I believe that we're on the edge of a miracle. I really believe that. You watch, you wait, and you'll see. Stay in unity. It starts in your family. Have family unity first. I don't know why I'm saying this. I just feel like I feel late. I got to, good Lord, I done went to 10 o'clock. I got to quit. But I feel like I got to say this. Listen, dudes, guys, when your spouse says, watch that person, don't think they're just jealous. They might be, but you better listen. If my wife says, watch it, so-and-so, I go, okay. I'm going to watch them. Why? Because Rodney's part of our staff. Rodney's a great dude. I'm not just saying this. He is a fantastic guy. He's a good guy. But if it meant my relationship with Rodney or my relationship with my wife, I know which one I'm going to pick. It's been good knowing you, Rodney. And I love you, but I'm going to have to kick you to the curb, bro. Because I'm committed to my wife. You got to choose which relationships you're committed to. I don't know why I'm saying this. If you're married, quit acting like you're single. Quit living like you're single. My wife and I are a team. Well, because y'all like the same thing. No, we don't. There's some things she'll go to her bedroom to watch. Lord Jesus, I'm so sick of Hallmark. My Lord God. I have to go watch Alaskan Axemen or something to get the testosterone back or something, man, because I get pumped full of estrogen watching Hallmark all the time. Like, for God's sake, woman. I mean, every movie's the same. I can tell you the outcome of it. They live happily ever after. That's fairy tale. Give me somewhere where somebody's foot gets cut off. That's reality. Stand to your feet. Let your dreams come to pass by working in unity. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are the God of unity. Every head bowed, every eye closed, that the best place for you to start is coming into unity with God, having a relationship with Him. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you want to, would you just slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. Anybody in this room?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.